The Daily Connect Podcast.
And hello and welcome to the Daily Connect Podcast for Friday, the 19th of October, 2018. It is Stephen Scott here with you, and coming up, we have something for the weekend. Oh yes, we are going to be telling you all about what is coming out on TV, on movies, at the theatre and beyond. That is on the way with Chris Wallace, as he does every single Friday on the Daily Connect, so do stick around for that. We also get into the forum today, and our topic is all around liking or disliking the white cane. We get into that topic with Mohammed Atif, Fiona Dunn and Madeline Mann shortly. But first, we say congratulations to RNIB on its 150th anniversary this week. As we bring the week of celebrations to a close, we say well done and congratulations. Well, you do, actually.
My name is Elizabeth Proud and I'm one of the readers of Talking Books and have been for the past 52 and a bit years. And I'd like to wish the RNIB a very, very happy 150th anniversary. I'm amazed that 52 of those years I've actually been working here.
This is Anne Cleaves, the crime writer, and I'd like to wish RNIB happy 150th anniversary.
Hi, my name is Caroline Casey. I'm a dangerous dreamer and the founder of Hashtag Valuable. And I want to wish RNIB a very, very, very happy 150th anniversary.
Hello there, it's Anne Hornsby, Director of Mind's Eye. I'd like to wish the RNIB a very happy 150th birthday. Thank you for all your help in reaching blind and partially sighted audiences for audio description, and many more happy returns to come.
Hello, this is Sally Magnuson. Happy 150th anniversary to RNIB.
This is Lord Chris Holmes wishing RNIB a very, very happy 150th anniversary.
Hi, this is Chris Danielson, Director of Public Relations for the National Federation of the Blind in the United States. And I want to wish the Royal National Institute of Blind People a happy 150th birthday.
This is Blind Dave Healy, wishing the RNIB a very happy 150th anniversary.
Happy 150th anniversary, RNIB. I'm Michelle Acton, and I'm Chief Executive at Fight for Sight. We're really pleased to work alongside the RNIB and, of course, the wonderful RNIB Connect Radio.
Hi there, I'm Billy Baxter from Blind Veterans UK, and I'd like to wish the RNIB a very, very happy 150-year anniversary. God bless you all.
Hello, I'm Sophie Hanna, crime writer and poet, and I would just like to wish RNIB a very, very happy 150th anniversary.
Hi, I'm John Rafferty, President and CEO of CNIB. A special happy anniversary to RNIB on its 150 years from everyone in Canada, and on behalf of the blind communities on this side of the pond, thanks for doing everything you've done.
Hello, this is Miles Hilton Barber, Blind Adventure, saying to all of you beautiful people within the RNIB, happy 150-year anniversary. God bless you. Onwards and upward. You've changed my life. Keep it up.
Congratulations to the RNIB on their 150th anniversary from everyone at the Scottish Disability Golf and Curling Charity.
My name is Fred Schroeder, and on behalf of the World Blind Union and 253 million blind and partially sighted people around the world, we wish to congratulate the RNIB for 150 years of helping expand opportunities for blind and partially sighted people, for giving them access to education, employment, independent living, and the opportunity to live with dignity. Thank you, RNIB.
And thank you all for your comments as RNIB celebrates 150 years. It all happened on October the 16th, way back 150 years ago. Incredible.
The Daily Connect Podcast.
This is the Daily Connect on RNIB Connect Radio, and time now for our forum. It's the opportunity for us to get into some of the big topics around sight loss. Well, one topic this week that we're going to be discussing with our panel and that is white canes. Do we dislike them? Do we like them? What do we think about our white canes? Do we love them? What about guide dogs? Do we love them more? Well, it's a big topic for discussion, and that's why it's taking over our entire forum today on the Daily Connect. With me for discussion on this, we have Mohammed Atif, we have Fiona Dunn, and we have Madeline Mann. Good to have you all here, guys.
Pleasure, Stephen.
Pleasure.
So the white cane, do we like it or do we dislike it? Let me start with Mohammed Atif. Do you like or dislike the white cane?
I can't really say whether I like or dislike it, to be honest. For me, in my life, to get around mobility-wise, it's a necessity. So whether I like it or dislike it, I have to use it because I do a daily commute to work from, say, Luton to St Pancras, which is quite a substantial station with various tourists and bags and prams and stuff. And big burly blokes that I don't want to walk into and get punched out by. So the cane's there to tell people as well as guide me that I am visually impaired. I have a little bit of sight, so I can use that sight to know where I am, take account of my surroundings, etc. And also to let people know, just in case I do knock into something or someone, that I don't do it on purpose, as it were. When I was going through mobility training, I was very reluctant to use a white cane. I went to a mainstream school, so everybody was sort of running about and everything else, and I just wanted to be in with the crowd. So I was a bit reluctant to use it. And if I'm honest with you, I'm still a little bit reluctant to use it, especially around my local area where I live. But it's a necessity when I come to work. It's not like a fashion item or anything like that. It's just something I have to use whether I like it or not.
So you're sitting on the fence a little bit on that one. Okay, so not like, not dislike. Okay, Fiona Dunn is on the line. What do you think?
I need my white cane, and I don't like not using it, especially a lot of the time if people guide you, they don't really know how to guide you properly on steps and things, which isn't, you know, that's how life is. They haven't ever been shown. So if you don't have a cane, then you could end up falling down the stairs or not feeling as safe or as confident if someone was guiding you. But I use it a lot, well, every day I use my cane, walking around my local area, going into central London. I do like it because otherwise probably wouldn't have the confidence to go out, especially into somewhere as busy as London. And as Mohammed said, it does show people that you're blind. What I don't like is, it's more of a social thing, really. People see a cane and they assume you immediately need their help just because they've seen you with a cane. And then they grab your arm, or even more weirdly, they grab your cane and they try to guide you by sort of pulling you along with your cane. And I don't like that, but that's not the cane's fault. That's people who don't know what to do and don't know how to ask if you need help and just think it's okay. So I don't like that, but I do. I like the fact that we have canes, that they give us such independence.
Yeah, I think it is two separate questions, isn't it? Because, you know, you've got the like of the cane or the dislike of the cane, and then the like and dislike of the consequences of using the cane. I think those are two separate questions. But you do see...
They are.
Yeah.
But also, for some people, it's brilliant. They see me walking along with a cane and they'll move out of my way. And if I realise, I'll say thank you to those people. So they're brilliant and they see the cane and they do kind of the right thing, but other people don't. So it's very much an individual thing, you know, as to what people do.
Okay. Madeline Mann is also with us. You're a white cane user as well. Do you like or dislike your cane?
With me, it was a bit of a journey, to be honest. When I was 10, 11, and I was introduced to using my white cane to walk around, I had a lot more sight than I have now. And when I was walking around, I didn't like it. It was kind of telling everybody, oh, there's a blind kid with a cane, although I actually was in a school for blind and partially sighted people. But still, I didn't like it. So I was called out by teachers quite regularly to tell me that I should be using the cane also for my own safety and so on and so forth. But now I actually love my cane because I know that's the only way I can get around. And no, it's kind of no hate and relationship anymore. I like my cane for what it is and learned how to become a lot more independent with my cane.
Now, one reason that might be most commonly used for not liking the white cane is perhaps the stigma of using it in public. Let's go back to our panel here. We've got Madeleine Mann, we've got Fiona Dunn, and we've got Mohammed Atif with us as well to discuss this. Mohammed, I'll come to you first. Do you think there's a social stigma about using a white cane?
I think so, because most of us, especially at, say, teenage years, you want to kind of blend in with the crowd, as it were. Your friends are sort of just walking around as they do in groups and stuff like that, and you just want to be on a level par, I suppose, where using a cane could sort of single you out. Like, you know, for example, like a sore thumb. You know, you just stick out and everybody notices you, and it's just... It's difficult to say, really, because I know it's a necessity, and I do like it in that sense, that it helps me to get around and stuff like that. But in my younger days, I was, to be honest with you, I was very, very reluctant to use it because I wanted to be in with the crowd. And you are more noticed by a cane. People do move out of your way and things like that. Some people give it to the last second until they do. Back in the day, say 10 years ago, I think people were a bit more alert to the white cane, where now everybody's got their your phone, your tablet or whatever, and they're tapping away and just not aware of their surroundings. Whereas before, everybody was used to be alert and move away in good time, I suppose. But there definitely is a stigma attached, and you are singled out by using a white cane, I think.
Okay, does that create a new like or dislike then, Fiona Dunn? Is it a case of, well, should we like or dislike the reaction we get from people who see us with our white canes?
This is a really interesting point that Mohammed's made, because I went to a special school for the blind, secondary, and they discouraged us to use our canes around the school and only to use them when we went out. But when I left, it left me with a lot less confidence using my cane than I otherwise would have had. And Mohammed talks about sticking out like a sore thumb, but if you're blind, you kind of do anyway, especially if you're going to be accidentally bumping into people because you're not using your cane and you're just walking without it. You've got a sort of a justification. No, not that's the wrong word. You've got a reason why those things have happened, if they still happen. I mean, hopefully they'll happen a lot less when you're using a cane. But if things still happen, then people will at least know the reason why. And I've had that reaction. I do swimming, and you obviously can't really take your cane in the water, however much you love your cane. you know, and you do get these people say, "Why don't you look where you're going?" And I'm like, well, it's a bit difficult. And then they kind of go, oh. And I never have to say that when I'm using a cane.
I find it very interesting. Sorry, can I? I find it very interesting that in the school you've been discouraged to use your cane. Really?
Yeah, that was... And I've heard from people still there that the children are still discouraged from using it within the school. Whereas another place, blind adults, they are encouraged to use their canes all the time, which I think is far more sensible.
But you don't think that's a good thing?
I think it's a good thing that people should be using them.
Mm.
Otherwise, you can leave an establishment that's supposed to be teaching you independence, and if you're leaving not very confident about using a white cane, that's not good.
No, I completely agree, actually. You could walk around, say, a college or a school, because you know those surroundings, and you can do that without a cane. But when you go out into the big wide world, it's a sighted world we live in, and you need to... I mean, if you're going to a school where there's blind and visually impaired people, they should be teaching you the independence to, when you leave that school, that you're going to be able to stand on your two feet.
And let's face it, injuries can happen everywhere. No, I think the cane is as necessary to walk around.
I think so.
Yeah, although I wouldn't... I mean, I'm at home at the moment and I don't use my cane around the living room and things like that.
No.
But I think school corridors and things are bigger. In the boarding houses, I can understand more, you know. Although some family I go and see, I do use my cane in their house because it's a bigger house and I feel more confident doing that. But when I go and see my parents and things like that, I don't need to use my cane in the house. I think it depends on where you are, on the area, doesn't it?
Okay, thanks for that, Fiona. Well, stay with us because we are going to continue this conversation and get into the topic around guide dogs as well. Are they better than white canes? I think we all probably know the answer to that, but would we use one or would we rather stick with our white cane? I'd be interested to know. We continue the conversation with Mohammed, Fiona and Madeline right here on The Daily Connect shortly.
The Daily Connect.
Welcome one and all to Something for the Weekend. Now, full disclosure, I was going to introduce a brand new feature on Something for the Weekend, which was going to be my Chris's top pick. But this week, I'm afraid it's all killer and no filler, as everything on the list this week is my top pick. So let's start with Netflix. And The Blind Superhero returns this weekend for Daredevil Season 3. Daredevil, of course, based on the Marvel Comics character, follows Matt Murdock, otherwise known as Daredevil, a blind lawyer by day who fights crime at night. When his arch nemesis from Series 1, Wilson Fisk, otherwise known as the Kingpin, is released from prison, Matt Murdock must decide between hiding from the world or embracing his life as a hero vigilante.
I used to listen to people asking for help. That's what I was trying to do, was help people. But I was fooling myself. Darkness only responds to darkness. I'm Daredevil.
Prison has changed me.
What is it you're saying?
I want to make a deal.
Of course, when Daredevil Season 1 came out, we here at RNIB Connect Radio were all over it. A blind superhero on a streaming service that does fantastic AD. And Daredevil did not disappoint. Season 2 of Daredevil, people thought had lost its muster a little bit. But I think with the reintroduction of the Kingpin, last seen fighting the Punisher in Daredevil Season 2, I think we're in for a wild ride. So looking forward to that on Netflix this weekend. Another Netflix show that had us all talking a few years back was Making a Murderer. Well, the good news is you will be using out your Netflix account this weekend because Making a Murderer Part 2 also drops.
People around the world, millions.
Everyone is talking about Making a Murderer and the trials of Stephen Avery.
It's not over.
Once somebody's convicted, they have to move mountains to get out of prison. Our task now is to upend an entire system that favors the prosecutors.
Do we want the right person convicted? Yeah, but that's secondary. Teresa's gone. There's nothing else you can do about that.
Prominent attorney Kathleen Zellner, best known for overturning wrongful convictions, has taken the Avery case.
I have one goal. And that's to overturn the conviction of Stephen Avery.
So yes, we've arrived at the moment that Making a Murderer fans have been waiting years for, Season 2. Now, we'd forgive you for thinking that the next installment might not be able to deliver the same level of shocking twists and turns as its predecessor, but it seems like that's not the case, as in a chat with Digital Spy director Laura Riccardi has promised that viewers are in for a big surprise. She says there are major revelations in Part 2, things that certainly surprised us, and I think things that surprised the people in the story. So that's Making a Murderer Part 2. That and Daredevil Season 3 both dropping to Netflix this weekend. Let us know how the audio description is. Of course, you can get in touch via Twitter at RNIB Radio or email radio@rnib.org.uk. Now, from the small screen to the big screen, and a full 2 weeks before Halloween, Halloween, the movie, which is a follow-up to Halloween, the 1979 movie, arrives at cinemas. Jamie Lee Curtis, otherwise known as Laurie Strode, comes to her final confrontation with Michael Myers, the masked figure who has haunted her since she narrowly escaped his killing spree on Halloween night 4 decades ago.
He's waited for this night. He's waited for me. I've waited for him.
Get out of the room! Get inside!
You don't believe in the boogeyman?
He's here!
Michael! You should.
So from one type of scary movie to what some people, especially on the left, might consider a very, very scary movie, documentary maker Michael Moore's Fahrenheit 11/9 also arrives in cinemas this weekend, and it examines the current state of American politics, particularly the Donald J. Trump presidency and gun violence, while highlighting the power of grassroots democratic movements.
I hate some of these people, but I'd never kill them.
How do you deal with this? You're never going to be able to unsee what you saw.
Try to impeach him. Just try it. You will have a spasm of violence in this country like you've never seen.
The president's powers here are beyond question.
Ladies and gentlemen, the last president of the United States.
Obviously, Michael Moore rose to fame with his documentary Bowling for Columbine, which dealt with school shootings. Now, between Columbine and this year, the rate of school shootings has only increased. So it's no wonder that Michael Moore dives deep into school shootings as well as the Donald Trump presidency, which Michael Moore did predict going against all pollsters during the 2016 campaign. So this film should be getting a lot of interest over the weekend. Of course, do check your local cinemas for AD listings across the country before you book your tickets. And from AD Cinema to AD Theatre, and there's AD Bally available this weekend if you're in the Newcastle area. Northern Bally's The Three Musketeers is at the Theatre Royal in Newcastle tomorrow at 2:30 p.m. with a touch tour at 12 p.m. We're in 17th century Paris. The mood is tense as D'Artagnan and the Three Musketeers embark on an action-packed quest to save the Queen's reputation and the life of D'Artagnan's love. See the tale unfold in a whirlwind of adventure, romance and intrigue, accompanied by Sir Malcolm Arnold's sweeping score played live. As I say, a touch tour at 12 noon, but the show starts at 12:30 p.m. and is audio described by Vocalize. Finally, my Something for the Weekend request. Coming to shops this weekend, a week before the movie drops, is the soundtrack to Bohemian Rhapsody, the tale of Freddie Mercury and Queen brought to the big screen, and of course an accompanying soundtrack. Now, a lot of the music on the soundtrack is a remix or live version or a previously unreleased version of classic Queen songs. It is not Rami Malek, the man playing Freddie Mercury singing. You have the vocals of the man himself, all original Queen recordings. So look at it as a soundtrack to what might be a fantastic film, or look at it as a best of Queen. Whatever, it comes out this weekend, so if you're a big Queen fan, you might want to get hold of the Bohemian Rhapsody soundtrack. So there we go. Lots to fill up your weekend. Get out to the cinema. Get out to the theatre. Pick up a CD and listen at home, or just pop your feet up in front of Netflix. Whatever you do, let us know your experiences. We want to hear those AD stories. Get in touch with us via Twitter at RNIB Radio, email radio@rnib.org.uk, or just search for us on Facebook, RNIB Connect Radio. My name's Chris Wallace, and this is Something for the Weekend.
The Daily Connect.
This is the Daily Connect, and we're in the forum today. We're talking about the subject of white canes. It was White Cane Safety Day this week, and we thought it'd be a good chance for us to catch up on the subject of white canes, what we think about them. Of course, guide dogs is an alternative to a white cane. It's not an upgrade, as some people sometimes think it is, but it's more of an alternative. I'm with Mohammed Atif, I've got Fiona Dunn and Madeline Mann here, and I want to ask you guys the question, have you ever considered a guide dog?
I actually had a guide dog and used a guide dog for many years and then had to go back to the cane, and that was quite an experience in its own. You're quite quick when you walk around with a guide dog, and it's a totally different feel to your mobility. There are other issues, perhaps, but then going back to the cane was not so easy. With a cane, I feel myself slower and I have to look for the way. But then it's easier to get from A to B because I don't have to think, can my dog get access to where I'm going? I've did both, and I must say for myself, I think I prefer the dog for the mobility. I think it's good to experience both, cane and dogs.
From what people have told me that have had guide dogs is that when using a cane, you have to concentrate 100%.
Yes.
You know, whereas with a guide dog, you can be in your own thoughts and the dog will sort of guide you to where you want to go. Not like a GPS, but at least it will know what surroundings it's in or where he needs to go. If you're, for example, if you do a journey every day, he'll know where you need to go. But if with a cane, you have to be wary of lampposts and people and trolleys and prams and all kinds of stuff. So you can't really, you can't be in your own thoughts when you're walking about. You have to have full concentration at all times.
I think people stop you a lot more when you walk with a cane than when you walk with a dog, because you're so quick and the dog knows where you are walking. Mm. And you know where you are going. And you don't hit the obstacles so often as you do with a cane. With a dog, you just walk.
Yeah, I like to know what I'm walking around, because I think it's different with a dog, but I like to know what landmarks and things I'm walking around, because I like to be in charge of where I'm going. So a cane is great for me. And you know, sometimes, yes, I might have to be thinking where I'm going, but I don't want to have to walk along talking to something all the time, you know, a dog. I don't think I'd feel comfortable doing that, and some people do and they love it, but it's just not a problem you have with the cane.
So interesting you bring that up, Fiona, because, you know, Mohammed and Madeline, they were almost talking themselves out of their white cane by the sounds of it. Because interestingly, you know, Madeline, in your case, you've experienced a guide dog. You've both picked up on the negatives of the white cane, yet you still use it.
Yeah, and there are definitely advantages of the white cane. As Fiona just said, I love the fact that I can just fold it up, put it away, and forget that I have it for a while.
I think, to be honest, it's more of a necessity rather than an enjoyment. I mean, if you had a choice, if anybody had the choice, they wouldn't carry a white cane around or even have a guard dog or hold a harness. If, obviously, if anybody had a choice, they'd be walking around just as any sighted person would. Okay. But it's just a necessity that we are visually impaired. We need this for mobility, for confidence, and also to let people know that you're visually impaired. I mean, it's not a fashion item, though, is it? I mean, for example, it's not like a... I mean, if you can get an Adidas or a Nike cane, just imagine that, a Reebok-branded cane, that'd be great. But Unfortunately not. So you've got pink, orange and blue, black and what other colour you've got.
Whatever goes with your wardrobe.
Whatever goes with your wardrobe. So, you know...
Yeah, I suppose that's true. Listen, we'll leave it there for the forum this week. Thank you so much for coming on. Mohammed Atif, Fiona Dunn and Madeline Mann, thank you so much for coming on and discussing The White Cane. Now, if you have a question, query, concern, comment that you'd like to put forward regarding The White Cane, then please do get in touch. You can email us, radio@rnib.org.uk, or find us on social media. And hey, use the same methods to tell us that you might want to come onto the forum and discuss a topic that interests you. Oh yes, it's your programme as well, you know. Get involved and join the conversation. Email radio@rnib.org.uk, or as I say, join us on social media. That's the forum for this week. And that's it for the podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in and downloading. We will be back in the forum next week, and we'll be also having our Connect conversation and the news review and everything else in between. If you want to get involved and join the conversation, then email radio@rnib.org.uk or join us over the weekend on social media for lots more highlights. Have a great weekend.
The Daily Connect Podcast.